Now today, our study takes us into chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. And with this chapter, we're introduced to the history of the man called Joseph, the beloved son of Jacob, and of the beloved wife, Rachel. It has been well said, men of Joseph's caliber are few and far between in the history of the race. Chapter 37 records some very interesting incidents which influenced the life of Joseph and caused him to leave the comforts of home for the captivity of Egypt. Now let me read some of the verses in the chapter. Genesis 37, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. His brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, thy mother, and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now we'll pause there in our reading for a moment. Let us bow for prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy word, and the record of thy word, and the truths that are revealed there. For thou, by thy Holy Spirit, bless them now to us as we study them, as we seek to search into thy word, speak to our hearts, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, the first thing I would draw attention to here in connection with Joseph is the position he received. First of all, it would appear that he was given a charge over his brethren. While Joseph's brethren were older in years, it is obvious that Jacob, his father, placed Joseph in the position of overseer, indicating his confidence in the ability of Joseph. Because you'll notice that he was with them when they were feeding the flock. He was only 17 years of age. Now, again, I want you to notice that it's obvious that he was in charge of them, because when he came back, he had to give the report to his father. That is, like an overseer, he had to report to his father. Then I want you to note the coat of many pieces or many colors. This was a mark of distinction that carried its own meaning and implied that the wearer were exempt from labor and occupied the peculiar privilege of being heir of the clan or the tribe. Jacob therefore treated Joseph as being the firstborn. It's true he was not the firstborn insofar as time was concerned. Reuben was that. But you will remember that Reuben was the firstborn of Leah, but Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel, the woman that Jacob really loved. And so he gave this beautiful coat to Joseph. And every time Joseph wore that coat, then his brethren realized that his father had put him in the position of being over them, and he was the sort of heir to being the chief of the clan. So he occupied a position. But then I want you to notice the principles of virtue he displayed. Some people are put in a position of power, and they may occupy that position of authority, and yet they may not display the corresponding virtues. But Joseph did. Joseph was quite competent to occupy the place. Joseph had a character that could stand investigation. So in his life he displayed principles of virtue. That's more than could be said about his brethren. Joseph had a very tender conscience. It is an utterly mistaken sense of values for one to keep silent when sin and wrongdoing is involved. I mention that because when Joseph came in, he gave the report to his father. He was with these others, and it says at the end of verse 2, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. That is, he came home, and he had to give the report to his father as to how the work had gone that day, or perhaps they may have been away for 2 days or 3 days, as the case may be, finding pastures for the flocks. And he comes home, and he's got the report. He's in charge. But it seems that he had to report things that were evil. That is, he had to tell his father about the evil that was going on with his brothers. Of course, because of that, they hated him. But now, Joseph had a very tender conscience. He wasn't going to keep quiet about it. Some folks, as I said, just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything about it. But Joseph was a true man. Having a tender conscience, he gave the true report to his father and instructed his father concerning the wrongdoing, whatever it was, that was going on with his brothers. He was a man with a pure heart. While still at the tender age of 17, Joseph manifests a purity of heart in the midst of evil men. Remember, they were all older than him. And he might have been tempted to say, well, I'll not say a thing about it. I'll just do what they're doing, but he didn't. He realized that while they were older than he was, they were doing what was wrong, and Joseph refused, and he manifested this purity of heart in the midst of the evil that surrounded him. I wonder, how does that affect people today? You know, it's so easy to do what other people are doing and make excuses. The old saying, you know, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. No, my friend, that doesn't work. Because of evil men surround you, that's no reason why you should indulge in their evil practices. Because sin today is being rolled under men's tongues like a sweet morsel, that's no reason why everybody else should do the same. Joseph is a great example here. He manifests purity of heart in the midst of evil men. He was also a man with a steadfast will. Joseph was not prepared to compromise with the wickedness of his brethren. As I have indicated already, they may have been his seniors, older men. And as another point here, they were in the majority. But while they were in the majority, and while they were older, Joseph resolutely stood his ground and denounced her sin, and took home the evil report. May I suggest, here are things that you've got to admire in young Joseph, 17 years of age, able to take the position of responsibility, a man displaying principles of virtue in his life. Oh, how we need men like Joseph. In studies that lie before us yet, we'll discover he carried these principles with him throughout his life. How true then that men of Joseph's caliber are few and far between in the history of the race. If there are any young men listening to my voice today, may I beg of you to think of Joseph and be like Joseph. Stand the test, stand your ground, and display these moral virtues. But now we'll look at something else in the life of Joseph. That is the prophetic vision he received from God. You know, dreams will play an important part in the life history of Joseph. That doesn't mean that you have to expect dreams to play a great part in your life. You see, God is not speaking to men today through dreams. We've got his word. From Genesis to Revelation, Joseph didn't have that. Joseph didn't have the written word. Joseph didn't have what you and I have today. So back in these days, God had to make his mind and his will known to men in a different manner. I pointed out, of course, in the life of Abraham, Abraham was associated with the building of altars. So you associate Abraham with altars. Isaac, his son, was associated with digging wells. And so therefore you think of Isaac as the well digger, getting refreshment from the living springs. And then you think of Jacob as a man who was erecting pillars. Now, I pointed out to you the different places where he erected those pillars. Now, when you come to Joseph, you'll discover Joseph is associated with dreams. And it's worthwhile to follow this through. We're introduced to them here. And dreams are going to play an important part in the life history of Joseph, but the dreams that he got had a meaning. First, there were his own dreams. Later on, you'll discover the dreams of the prisoners. And then there was the dreams of Pharaoh. And every time Joseph is associated with these dreams, it seems to become a turning point in his life. Now see if we can find out something with regards to the dreams he had here. First of all, the dream had to do with the glory of an earthly harvest. That is, the dream regarding the sheaves. You know, you don't get sheaves in the spring or in the planting season. You get the sheaves in the harvest. There's to be the ploughing and the sowing and the waiting time, and then there's the bringing in of the sheaves. So there is much work to be done before sheaves are seen. The ploughing and the sowing and the sunshine and the rain to help the growth. Then comes the harvest. Now, Joseph had to learn that the path to glory was a path of suffering. You see, in his dream, he said, we were in the field, and there were the sheaves, and my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and your sheaf stood round about, and they bowed themselves down to my sheaf. Now notice, that's in the harvest time. Joseph understood the meaning of that. And so did his brethren. They said, do you think that you're going to rule over us? Do you think that we're going to bow down to you? Is that the idea you've got? But Joseph had to learn that a lot of water would go under the bridge before this came to pass. And so would his brethren. That God was going to move in his own mysterious way his wonders to perform. Joseph had to learn that the pathway to glory was a pathway of suffering. And that is a biblical principle. Sufferings, then glories. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, had to suffer and then enter into his glory. The Old Testament made it known prophetically and typically, and then Christ passed through that historically. But then he has another dream. The first dream had to do with something on earth at the harvest time. The second dream had to do with the sun, the moon, and the stars. Here is the glory of a heavenly position. This had to do with the position of rule and authority, and his brothers, along with Jacob his father, well understood the interpretation of the dreams, and actually, his father rebuked him. Now, I wonder why his father rebuked him, but he did. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, thy mother, and thy brethren, indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" But nevertheless, the outcome of it was this: his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. While his old father rebuked him, nevertheless he kept this thing in his heart, and he pondered it. And the day would come when old Jacob would find out what was meant by bowing down to Joseph. Now, again, I want you to notice with regards to Joseph. Here now we're going to find him in connection with his brethren, and the persecution he received from his brethren. Number one, these men did not appreciate his purity. It says they wouldn't even speak to him. You see, he was trying to live a pure life in the midst of their evil, sinful lives. But because he was trying to live in all purity, they despised him. They wouldn't speak to him. They did not appreciate his position. They hated him because of the position his father gave him. They did not appreciate his spirituality. They envied him. Now, I want you to notice, Joseph was sent to his brethren for their good. Now, verse 12 says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem." Now, you'll see, that brings us back again to what we read in chapter 34 and chapter 35. Why they ever went back down to Shechem with their flocks, we'll never know, except these men perhaps thought they could go back down there with their flocks and get the pastures. They remember what the pastures were like. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." He was willing to be obedient to the father's command. He said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks." You know, I wonder if that comes home to our hearts today. Is it well with thy brethren? Is it well with the flocks? And he says, "And bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now let me break in here and say this. That day that Jacob sent his son Joseph away to see how his brethren fared became a sad day in the history of Jacob. Little did he know that day when Jacob went out that he wouldn't see his son again for a good long number of years, over 20 years before he would see his son Joseph. And he would have to go down to Egypt to see him. But he sent him away this day, and he went down to see his brethren. Now, I want you to notice what the brethren said. "The certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, 'What seekest thou?' He said, 'I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks.' The man said, 'They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan.' And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.' And Reuben," now remember, Reuben was the firstborn, really. He was the firstborn of Leah, "and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him, Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hand to deliver him to his father again. Then we find that Joseph is stripped. Now here's a story from the Bible that most children will remember. They were told it in the Sunday school. So Joseph was sent to his brethren for their own good. They didn't appreciate that. Joseph was stripped by his brethren because they envied him and hated him. That coat that he wore, they took it from him. Joseph then suffered at the hands of his brethren, and that was to their shame. They put him down in the pit. And then they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. And there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now I want you to notice Jacob had 12 sons, but the youngest one is not here. He is at home with his father. And Joseph is sold. That left 10 of them. They sold their brother for 20 pieces of silver, which means each of them, a party to the crime, got their 2 paltry pieces of silver. They were willing to sell their brother and sell their soul, so to speak, for 2 pieces of silver. And so Joseph was sold by his brethren and carried down to Egypt as a slave. So I suggest to you that if they divided the money equally amongst them, all they got was 2 pieces of silver. So we find Joseph sent to his brethren, suffering at the hands of his brethren, sold by his brethren, which means that this chapter takes Joseph from the place of comfort in his father's house to the place of captivity down in Egypt, where he would be falsely accused and where he would suffer. My friend, do you realize that Joseph here is only a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent by the Father from the throne of glory, from the Father's presence? He came down to this earth seeking our welfare, our good. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. There came the day when Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And in so doing, he sold his own soul. And so we find that Joseph, only portrayed here in typical fashion, what the Lord Jesus Christ had to pass through when he came to this earth, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainting himself with our grief. And so in this chapter we find Joseph leaving his father's house and being taken away down into Egypt, and his father wouldn't see him for a good number of years. In our next study, we'll be able to follow through what happened to Joseph in Egypt. You've been listening to the Bible Fellowship broadcast. We thank you for being tuned in.